This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music? Totally rad. The fashion? So fly. Home decor? That's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joining us right now on the HRNP guest line, a host of my favorite NFL podcast, the Around the NFL podcast, also at the NFL Network, the one and only Greg Rosenthal. Greg, in the last segment, we were talking about golf and the puke and egg that it has all over its face, its shirt, its pants. It's not great. I want it off the top. What, in your memory, is perhaps the biggest moment of hypocrisy in the NFL, because there's hypocrisy in every single league?
Ooh, there's a lot to choose from. See, I just immediately thought to, like, what's hypocritical right now. So I'm thinking Thursday Night Football. Like, in general, Thursday Night Football, the health and safety issues that it clearly has, but also this whole idea that they might be flexing games and not caring at all about the local fan. That you just have to move your games. We don't care about you. We care about the TV. So it's sort of like a one and all hypocritical. We're not really caring about the player safety as much, and we're certainly not caring about the fan in the stadium when it comes to Thursday Night Football, for the same reasons Liv and PGA are being hypocritical, which is just money.
Money, money, money. It is a bummer, especially for anyone who's maybe planning a trip later in the season. You have no idea if a game is going to get flexed at this point in time, because it really is entirely dependent on who is playing well over the course of a year. Greg, we're hoping that the Texans will. And, you know, the last time we talked, things were pretty messy. But I feel like now that it's June, the Texans, they do some fun things in the draft. They get C.J. Stroud. They trade for Will Anderson. They hire D'Amico Ryans. I'm hoping that from a national perspective, the summer bods look on a little bit better than the not so good looking team that this was at the end of the year, when of course they somehow beat the Indianapolis Colts, which also was a sad day.
I was watching that game live. I assigned myself that game just for the chance of the mess that it turned into. And I'm screaming and yelling in the newsroom about as loud as like I have for any game all year when Davis Mills completes that touchdown through the arms of Colson. Now we're here, and it all worked out. CJ Stroud's amazing. Maybe it didn't work out because they have to give up a next year's first to come back to get Will Anderson, but they're so much more compelling. That's all I'm asking for. I thought, Paul, you might remember, they would get their over win total last year, that they'd be a little
right,
higher than people thought, and I was wrong about that. And this year, I'm not as confident that they'll get their over. I think if I had to pick, I would pick that, because it's such a young team. But more importantly, I just like am looking forward to watching them play football. And I do think a good offensive line, a good system, and a good running back is a hell of a way to break in a rookie quarterback. So to me, CJ Stroud is a lot more box office than people give him credit for. And I'm just looking forward to watching them play. And that's the first time in a few years.
I think we're all on the same page on that one. Please know Davis Mills, though. Davis Mills has been working with the ones, a little bit of OTAs, but at least what I'm telling myself right now, it's fine. This is going to change by training camp, by the start of the regular season. It's not going to be like the first game of the year against the Jaguars back in 2017, where Tom Savage was the starting quarterback and then they brought in Deshaun Watson. No way. That's not going to happen. But I'm with you.
Man, I forgot about that. Oof. I totally forgot when that happened.
He got killed. He got killed in that game. And yeah, that year at least was fun for a little bit of time before Watson tore his ACL. Now, to take a look at what you just said a moment ago, how you're a little bit nervous about maybe taking the over on the Texans. I'm in the same way. I think we're all a little bit gun shy. But if you take a look around the AFC South, I think there's really only one team that we're looking at as a potential really good team. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. But a lot of it, I think, has to do with the quarterback pedigree in Trevor Lawrence. How much better do you think the Jaguars will be than last year? I asked that question because I get the buzz around Lawrence. I felt like he played pretty well, all things considered, against Kansas City in that playoff game. But this was a 9-8 football team last year. And I hate that we're just forgetting that Trevor Lawrence threw four first-quarter interceptions in that game against the Chargers, who charged their way through the rest of the game. Like, I get it. Lawrence did bounce back, and he deserves a lot of credit for bouncing back. But that happened, and it feels like this offseason, Greg, a lot of people are trying to push him into the same conversation as Patrick Mahomes, as Josh Allen, as Joe Burrow, as all the other great young quarterbacks in the league. And I'm not ready to do that, and I'm not really ready to do that with the Jaguars either, looking at them as a serious team in the AFC.
I totally am with you. In fact, I don't think there is a great team in the AFC South. I think it's the easiest division in football. I think the schedule is very favorable out of Division II. And to me, if I'm like power ranking the AFC teams, just roster and what I expect out of the team this year, if all the schedules were equal, I don't think Jacksonville's in my top six or seven. I just think the North and the East and certainly the Chiefs and even the Chargers are better. They might be 8-9. Like, I think they're a middle of the road team who didn't really address their issues on defense. They pushed so hard with all the spending they had an offseason ago that they couldn't really do it this offseason, and I get that. That's sort of how you team build. You can't do it every offseason. I love Doug Peterson as a head coach. Their offensive line's okay. I think it'll be a good offense. I think it'll be a really bad defense. I think if they were in the AFC North, I would pick them to come third. Same with the AFC East. So I am not totally banking on them running away with this division. It would not surprise me at all if it's just a bunch of teams closer to 500, you know, in the middle of November.
Greg Rosenthal, the Around the NFL podcast, the NFL Network, hanging with us on the HR&P guest line. Paul Galancho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Okay, we're all wondering where DeAndre Hopkins is going to end up. It feels like there are a lot of tentacles reaching in a bunch of different directions from Camp Hopkins. I don't know if anybody wants those tentacles to come near them. I know that we heard that he's open to a return to the Texans. Doesn't really seem like that would make sense when you got a first-year head coach trying to install like a everybody's on the same level mindset, especially with Hopkins' track record of never showing up in practice here in Houston back in the day, and some comments that he made about Bob McNair, whether fair or unfair. I don't know how Cal's going to feel about those comments. You also have like rumors about the New England Patriots, which seems weird given, again, Bill O'Brien being there. We've heard about the Cleveland Browns. I know Amari Cooper has endorsed maybe them bringing in Hopkins, and that Deshaun Watson has brought it up as well. The Brandon Bean with the Bills. Where do you think Hopkins is going to end up?
I would still pick the Bills if I had to choose one. You know, it's less about money, and I think for Hopkins, and more about, you know, respect. He doesn't want to be looking at himself or the rest of the league to look at him as a guy that's like signing for 1 year, $6 million, which might be the type of offers that he's getting from the Chiefs and the Bills. But I think there isn't that huge offer out there from a bad team anyways. And eventually he might just settle on, look, I can remake my career. I can win ball games in big spots, and I can play with a great young quarterback, and he'll just have to accept lesser money. And to me, Kansas City and Buffalo, which, you know, I have reached out and sort of, you know, sifted around. There is a level of interest. If he's willing to play for a lesser amount of money, the Chiefs and the Bills are happy to take him on. And so to me, it just makes too much sense, because I don't see the mediocre team out there that's like the Panthers or something that's suddenly going to offer him Odell Beckham money. I think that Beckham contract that he signed with the Ravens is probably getting in the way of this Hopkins deal right now.
You know, talking about that contract, if you had to pick between the two, one of them is on your fantasy team this coming year, one of these guys is going to have a more productive year, Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr., who are you picking?
I'd love to know what team Hopkins is on. Pure just player, I think I would take Beckham right now. But the fact that he's on the Ravens and the uncertainty, I think I would take Hopkins for fantasy. I mean, there's not a huge difference. I do think Hopkins has taken a step down, and that's a big reason why he isn't signed yet. Like, he's going to be a great contested catch receiver, I think, for the rest of his life, but he's not that same true number one guy. And that's why I really love the Buffalo fit. I mean, him playing next to Stephon Diggs on the other side as kind of the X there with the single coverage, I think that's perfect.
One last question, Greg Rosenthal, before I let you go. I'm wearing a throwback Seahawks T-shirt because the Seahawks are bringing their 90s uniforms back, at least for one game this season. That came out yesterday. I'm very excited. Those are good-looking uniforms. And I put together a power rankings of the throwback uniforms that I think are the best in the NFL. I had number one, the Kelly Green Eagles. Two, I had the old Patriots ones that luckily we never saw those ones that long in action with how bad they were in them, but they looked good. The Broncos with the light blue helmet and the orange. After that, I had the Seahawks. I like the Rams old uniforms before they went to this, like, I don't know, Tide dishwasher logo or whatever washing machine logo that they've got now. And I also like the Steve Bartkowski Falcons uniforms. What's your favorite throwback NFL jersey?
Ooh. Yeah, you hit a couple of them there. The Eagles, maybe it's cliche, but that would certainly come to mind. And I had an old Randall Cunningham one, which was awesome. I like the old Vikings ones, the really old ones. I think those are cool. And I like the classic ones. You know, I like the old Bengals ones. Those come to mind, but the Eagles passed. You hit two of the ones that would have hit right off the bat.
He is Greg Rosenthal. Check him out, the Around the NFL podcast, and on Twitter, at Greg with two Gs, Rosenthal. Greg, always a pleasure, man, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Paul.
That is Greg Rosenthal, everybody, HRNP. Guest line, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.